to talk to you about this morning will be somewhat brief. We're having a shorter service out of consideration to family things and the weather. But I do believe with all of my heart that this is for this morning. Have preached on a variety of things at Christmas time over the years, from the qualities in a baby to the actual Christmas story. I think probably the Christmas chapter in the Bible is the chapter in Luke of the lost sheep, lost coin, and lost son. I think that's probably the best Christmas story, for Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Don't know why this was so impressed on me, but it's not only been impressed on me from, I believe, the Spirit of the Lord, but it has been confirmed several times. So I'm going to go for it. I want to talk to you about the gift of forgiveness. Giving the gift of forgiveness. Boy, I had trouble trying to decide which examples to use, because there's a bunch in my own life. But in sorting through those, I'm going to share a couple. We're talking about giving the gift of forgiveness. God gave us the marvelous gift of forgiveness. Total and complete forgiveness. Keeping no record of wrongs. Holding nothing against us. Psalms 103, one of my favorite chapters. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Anxious to forgive. So we've been given an awesome gift. Could spend a lot of time on that, and rightly so. But the theme today that the Lord has impressed on me for this group, knowing who would be here, what's on your minds? I don't know those things. We're talking about giving the gift of forgiveness. No strings attached. I forgive you. It's beautiful to see. I've seen couples whose lives were shattered by adultery. And I've seen the gift of forgiveness given. No strings. No reminders, no bringing up the past, just pure, simple forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness. I think we've written too many books about it. Kevin, I think we've written too many books about forgiveness. I think we've written too many books about everything. Books can be helpful. But I think sometimes we complicate it and we think we have to have a 14-point outline to explain it. And it's just saying, I have a gift for you. I forgive you. I want you to open it. I've prepared it. I purchased it. Was there some cost? Oh, there's cost to forgiveness. Did I have to purchase it? Does the person always say, I'm sorry? Uh-uh. It's nice when they do. I think most of us can muster up some forgiveness when someone's graveling in our feet, begging for forgiveness. I think the proudest among us can come up with some, well, okay. But I'm finding the longer I walk with the Lord, he's asking me to unconditionally give the gift. What you do with it, whether you open it, whether you even wear this thing, I got no control over that. Whether you even wear this thing. You might take it back and say, I don't want it. That isn't my problem. I have a gift for you. Total forgiveness. I think we've written too many books about it. We're forgetting how simple it is. Oh, lots of examples in my life. I learned a powerful lesson at 18 years old in the kitchen of the trailer you used to live in. Vince, that was my parents' trailer. few of you have been with me a long time know this story, but this is one God impressed upon me. Did very well in school as a kid and had excelled in a lot of things, and my mom, very proud of those things, and got in a lot of trouble as I got older and lived a double life and hid that from my precious mother to the extent you think the Robinses aren't connivers. The Robinses without the Lord are dangerous, very dangerous. Conniver to the point that I got expelled from school. My mother didn't even know it. She didn't even know it. Lots of things going on in another life that she was unaware of. Came to the Lord, truly had a crisis in my life, fell apart, had a terribly broken heart, which brought me to my senses and brought a very proud, arrogant, know-it-all-ish young man to his senses. As coming to God does, it softened my heart and I realized the need to straighten some things out. And I remember like it was yesterday, Vince, walking into that kitchen of that trailer you used to live in. And I came down the hall and my mom was frying eggs at that old electric skillet. Pam, you know that skillet she always used? And her back was to me. And I knew my heart was pounding out of my chest. I needed to tell my mother that I had lied to her about many, many, many things, and many far more serious than the school thing. I'd got involved in some controlled substances and even trafficking in that some. And I don't know why God requires certain things. He doesn't require the same of everyone. But I felt there were a number of things I needed to tell her, and I knew this was going to break her heart. And I never will forget walking into that kitchen and I said, Mom, and she turned around and I said, I need to talk to you about some things. And I'm sure my expression gave me away that we weren't going to talk about mowing the grass. And I said to her, there's a lot of things that I need to tell you that you don't know that are going to be pretty painful. And I never will forget receiving a wonderful gift. I miss her at Christmas. She died before Christmas in 2000, as many of you know. And I can visualize her. She stepped toward me and she put her arms out. She said, honey, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And I just looked at her for a minute. She said, whatever it is you want to say, I believe you really have connected with the Lord, and I don't want to hear any of it, and you are forgiven. Wow. I've had good examples. To whom much is given, much is required. I've had good examples. Well, listen here, young man, she could have said. You sit down there and you will go through every detail. And you will tell me every gory thing that you did. And there's a time when God prompts you to tell all you need to tell. So I don't want to. You got to follow the Lord on those things. There's times when I felt, when I went to Jack Sheehan after stealing from Kroger's, hundreds and hundreds of dollars of stuff from Kroger's. When I went to Jack Sheehan, I felt like I needed to spell it out. He said, what all have you stolen? And I said, well, I've stole record albums, and I've stole steaks, and I've stole alcohol, and we spelled her out, buddy. That was another gift I received. He puffed on his cigar and looked at his notebook for about 5 minutes, and it was pretty uncomfortable in that room. And he looked up, and he said, well, I guess you wouldn't be serious if you weren't in this room. If you can pay some of it back, and I'll not ask you. You put what you can in the till. And if you can pay some of it back, we're going to let it go. That's another gift I received. The gift of forgiveness. Son, you're going to pay for everything you did? No. Mercy. I'll let you make that call, he said. I don't know how they balance their books that way, but I did put $20 in when I could, $20 when I'd get my paycheck. We had a little arrangement with the one girl that worked in the office that knew what that was for. The gift of forgiveness. I'm finding as I get older, God is calling me more and more to offer the gift of forgiveness. Sometimes you have to forgive a person for who they are. Does that surprise you? Yeah. Sometimes somebody genetically and the way they've been put together and the way they've been raised and the habits they've learned, it's deeper than just what they did. You got to forgive them for who they are. I remember praying for one individual at one time, and God said to me, son, I don't know that they're ever going to change, and you're going to have to learn to deal with that. Okay. Okay. The gift of forgiveness. Oh, it's hard to know which ones, but I got to tell you this one. My daddy gave a gift that I was 15. How good's my math here? 47. That's 47 years ago. My daddy gave a gift, a marvelous gift with no strings attached. A gift when he could have called a person on the carpet. That if he hadn't given, could have really made somebody pay. There's more to my sister's death than you know. A few of you know. You've heard me tell about my sister Carol. She was 25. I was a freshman high school, Peru, at the time. 14 or 15. Carol went into the hospital for a simple DNC. She'd had a miscarriage. Her husband was on a business trip. He worked for General Tire at the time. He was on a business trip in Canada. He didn't even come home, so Mom took her. Carol was 25, vibrant young woman. Her and her husband were doing weekend evangelism in Marion and had rented a garage, a big garage, and they would do a Friday night thing for kids. And a lot of the Afro-American kids there in Mexico or in Marion, they have 40 or 50. I used to go to that with them. Carol and Dean would pick me up, and I would go to them. It appeared that Carol was just in the prime of life and doing very well spiritually. Went to the hospital for this simple procedure, not knowing she was allergic to the anesthetic that they gave her. They say it happens one in, I don't know, 100,000 maybe. They don't even use that same anesthetic anymore. But her heart stopped. That's usually where we stop with the story, but that's not exactly what happened. We don't make anything up, we just don't go into the rest of it. They were so taken back that this medicine had reacted that way, and she's 25 years old and a vibrant young woman, and her heart stopped, that they were doing everything they could, obviously, to revive her. I wasn't in the room, obviously, but we were told, and it makes sense with the story, by the doctors, Kathy, I don't know if they do such a thing like this anymore, if they actually did open heart massage. Because she was 25 years old and they were in a panic. And they actually did open heart massage. While they were roughing her up in all of this hurry to keep from losing her forever, they accidentally punctured her liver and she bled to death. The doctor broke down and cried and told my father the truth. Told my father the truth. Marion General Hospital. Told him what happened. Said, Mr. Robbins, when she passed, we were in a panic working with her. We punctured her liver. He said, it's my fault. Very few people know this. Handful of people know this. My uncles all jumped on the bandwagon. Jack, my dad, you could be a millionaire on this one. You got a lawsuit here. You got a lawsuit here that's hands down. You already got a confession. My dad gave a wonderful gift. he met with that doctor and shook his hand and hugged him and said, I will not put a doctor out of business that's that honest. And he gave him a wonderful gift of forgiveness. And him and my dad hugged each other. And many years after that, many went on, Jack, you shouldn't have let that go. Dad said, I will not. $1 million back then took a person out. He said, I will not put a man out of business that's that honest and cries and tells me, even though it was his own daughter, the gift of forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness. Now, sometimes the gift's pretty big. And it's pretty heavy. Sometimes, if you were to pry the lid off the gift, it's got a lot of stuff in it. CMO is full of people that have awful heavy stuff in the gift of forgiveness. If you're here and you've been sexually abused as a child, that's a heavy gift. Especially if the person's never said you're sorry. Let me remind you that if someone grapples at your feet and begs you for forgiveness, the most arrogant person can forgive. God has recently called me to forgive someone who isn't sorry. So I feel this message. God has recently called me to forgive somebody who isn't sorry. If you were treated horrible as a child, you were cussed at, you were kicked around, you were thrown to the curb, or you were abandoned like Mark, that's a pretty heavy gift. The gift of forgiveness. God is calling us as a church. If we are going to move ahead and do the vision God has given us for CMO, we've got to get very much in touch with that. It's one thing when you've cheated at Monopoly and you've had childhood issues, frivolous issues, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's another thing when you have ugly scars caused by people sometimes sitting in the same congregation with you. The gift of forgiveness. I have written here, whether the person receives it or whether they ask, or whether or not they're even willing to reconcile, we have to be willing to give the gift, and the truth sets us free. The truth sets us free. Years ago, I went through something that hurt me to the core. This is years and years ago. Hurt me to the core. And God challenged me, will you forgive? Will you forgive? And I remember driving my old 77 Jeep, so that tells you how long ago that was. I remember driving that old 77 blue Jeep, and I'd let go of the steering wheel, and I would say, Lord, I let it go. I let it go. When that person's name would come to my mind, I let it go. I let it go. Lord, I got to get past this. Who is it that you're to give the gift to? Who is it that God would call you to give the precious gift to? The more we learn to do that, love keeps no record of wrongs. Had a situation in the past where there were lots of indictments. You ever make a list of indictments? Where there were lots of indictments, and there were plenty, and they were valid. They were extremely valid. And I had them written, not to use on anybody, just analyzing it and understanding it. And I remember God coming to me and saying, "Will you just tear up that paper? Love keeps no record of wrongs. For this to be a pure gift, you need to tear up the paper." I'm going to keep this evidence in case I need it. No. For it to be a pure gift, and maybe it's a heavy one. Maybe it's a heavy one and a difficult one to handle and a complicated one, but to give it and truly have the freedom that comes with the truth will set you free, and to have the joy of the Holy Spirit needs to be given with no strings attached. I've been asking the Lord in my older years, help me to forgive at a level where there's no strings attached. I delete all the evidence, and I tear up all the papers. And sometimes you just have to forgive a person for who they are. Because blindness maybe has set in, but there's a freedom and a smile that comes over your face when you can do that. Many of us here have been through rugged pasts and can relate to the large gift of forgiveness. Ooh, it's a large thing. It's a large thing. It's one thing to give that gift. It's another thing to give this one. It's another thing to muscle up enough to get this and take it to the person. And it's a large thing in your life, and it's had a huge effect on your life. It's been life-altering. Many of you have been through things that were life-altering. It's hard to let go. And I say this with passion because you could easily look up and say, "Pastor, you know some of my past. It's the grace of God that allows us to live supernaturally. You know, if you want to pass out supernatural power, I bet there'd be a million hands go up if we said, "How many of you'd like to be able to instantly heal somebody?" But it takes as much supernatural power to give that gift with no strings attached. You with me? It takes as much grace to give that to the person that, by all means, isn't deserving of it. If you took it in any court, I mean, it would be obvious. But I feel like God has called me to a new level in my own walk, that isn't my problem. What I need to do is give the gift of forgiveness. Give the gift of forgiveness. There is a new level that comes. Oh, to the world, that sounds pretty crazy, because we're all about justice and settling the score and getting even. There's a new level that comes in our walk with God when we're willing to go to those places and give those gifts. In all the years following, Vince, after my mom giving me that gift in the kitchen of that trailer that day, of all the years following, she never asked me anything. She heard me preach at Chapel Hill and heard me refer to things in high school, and she just laughed and go, "I don't know what you're talking about." You know, she had given the gift. She had given the gift. I want to be there. That's where I want to be. Dave, I think that's where the joy comes in our older years. And we can do that. I've been saying, Lord, I want more of your joy. I think totally give the gift. The opposite of that is to let it eat us to pieces. The opposite of that is to let it taint our spirit. This is a gruesome story. I don't like the story, but boy, it's a good example. Have you ever heard the story of how Eskimos kill wolves? Interesting. Very, very cunning and very smart how Eskimos kill wolves. They take a very sharp two-edged knife, very sharp, razor sharp, and they dip it in blood. And it dries, and they dip it in blood again, and it dries, and they make a snow cone that's about like that, like a popsicle, and they stick the stick in the ground with that frozen blood sticking up. The wolf comes, smells that blood, licks that. He keeps licking it down. What he doesn't know is that once he gets through all the frozen blood, it's a knife, and he begins slicing his tongue. Gruesome story. But his own blood, he begins drinking. Gruesome story. But that's how they kill wolves. I heard a man say one time that's one of the best comparisons to sin he'd ever seen. And to bitterness. And to anger. And all that stuff we would stuff. Because we can just nurse ourselves along and keep justifying how we feel. And granted, there's reasons to feel that way. The person that God recently asked me just to give the gift and let it go, there's definite reasons to feel that way. Let it go. There's a new level of grace that will exist in your life. There's a new level of working. Some of you are going up the mountain. Some of you are very serious about following God. And there's a new level when we come to a place of forgiveness. Lord, I don't want a tainted spirit on anything. Does that mean I don't have conviction? Oh, no. Oh, no. Did Moses have conviction? Did Abraham have conviction? Are there things that are right and wrong? Oh, absolutely. Do I intend to compromise on those things? No, not by God's grace. But relationally with you, I want to forgive and have the heart of God and the forgiving spirit. Well, I told you we'd get out early and you didn't believe it. It's only 5 after 11. Did I do good? 5 after 11? Yeah, pretty good. Well, that's not good when they clap. I honestly believe there are 10 or 15 things I could elaborate on, but I felt like this morning the Lord said, keep that simple. Don't complicate it. Don't add to it. The message is the gift of forgiveness, and who is God calling you to give that gift to? I don't know that. My role is to bring the truth to the best of my ability, with passion and conviction to bring the truth to you. That's my role. I don't even try to figure it out. I don't prepare a message and look at my notes and think, now that would be for so and so. I will not go there. I will not go there. If the devil tries to bring names to my mind when I'm preparing a sermon, I'll rebuke him. No, my role is to bring truth and the Holy Spirit to sort that out. But my guess is, with our backgrounds, there's probably a lot of us that need to give a gift with no strings and no conditions. I give this gift of forgiveness to you because it sets me free, and then God lays it before you, and what they do, then they are accountable for. And when we stand before judgment, if that person denies that, if that person ignores that, if they scoff at that, we stand before judgment. Remember when I sent you a humble servant who forgave you when you were guilty. Is that scriptural? While we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. The ultimate gift. While we were yet in sin, he didn't know if we'd go and decide it or not. He offered us salvation. We want to be like him. All right. I'm finished. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, a little different Christmas message this year. but I believe it very much applies to us, I would ask one very specific thing. And that would be that when we leave here and eat our snacks and go our various places and have our meals together, we don't lose the truth you spoke to us this morning. My guess is that there are people here under the sound of my voice that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them about something. How easy it would be in the festive holiday time to forget that. I ask that that truth would stay with us. And may we walk in obedience going into 2018. Lord, we can sing the house down and we can jump up and down and we can cheer and there's a place for all of that. But our lives will be straighter and more empowered and more full of grace when we connect with these truths. Help us to become the quality people that you're calling us to become. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for your anointing on the service today. Now may the Lord bless and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And Merry Christmas.